بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. So we continue with our discussion of the bayan. In the last session, we looked at point 2 of the bayan in relation to teaching and muhadharat, and we discussed the falsehood that is being spread by some of the people that this is not for anyone who is connected to the Maktaba Salafiyya. And we established that there were two conditions and that the brothers fulfilled those conditions. And of course, we didn't mention everybody connected to Al-Maktaba Salafiyya. There are a number of brothers who were not mentioned in that. The likes of Abu Mu'adh Taqweem, another graduate from the Islamic University of Medina, Kuliyat Al-Hadith. Our brother Abu Talha Tahir, another graduate from the Islamic University of Medina. Our brother Abdul Hakim Mitchell, another graduate from the Islamic University of Medina. Our brother Abdul Ilah, Dr. Abdul Ilah Al-Lahmami, who again, similar claims are being made concerning him, and they say that his doctorate has nothing to do with the Sharia, which is kadhib. The doctorate was an analytic criticism of 14 translations of the Quran. Kif, how can it not be Sharia related? And our brother is well known by the Mashaykh and has tazkiyat from them similarly. The likes of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Al-Aqil, the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Banna, the likes of Sheikh Ubaid and the Mashaykh Ikhwan of Medina and elsewhere, of Makkah and elsewhere. And so, in fact, as it relates to Sheikh Ubaid, he has ijazah from Sheikh Ubaid, that he studied over 20 or more books with the Sheikh, and then the Sheikh, he wrote for him that indeed these books that were written above were studied with me by Abdul Ilah, or our brother Al-Ustad Abdul Ilah Al-Lahmami Al-Maghribi, and I am satisfied and I'm pleased with his understanding of them. فَأَجَزْنَاهُ بِتَدْرِيسِهَا, and we give him permission to teach them. And we give him permission to teach them. Again, establishing the fact that Ikhwan, the statements that are being made by certain individuals who are either, as we mentioned, jahil and ignorant concerning the reality of affairs, and so speak with ignorance and thus wrong people and confuse others, or that they're straight kadhabin, yani that they have intentionally tried to confuse the people with lies and falsehood and kadhib. And we remind them of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبْ فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبْ وَيَتَحَرَّى الْكَذِبْ حَتَّى يُكْتَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. That you should be aware of lying, for indeed lying leads to fujur, evil and wrongdoing, and indeed fujur leads to the hellfire. And a man does not lie and continue to be ardent upon lying until he's written with Allah Azza wa Jal as a liar. We should be aware, Ikhwan, and careful of these ahadith, for indeed they have in them a great threat for the one who falls into them. And so in relation to the following point, and that is point number 3, the Sheikh, he mentions in this issue that in relation to fatwa, they are not from the people of fatwa, and it is not for them to give fatwa. They are not from Ahlul Fatwa, so it's not for them to give fatwa. And of course, Ikhwan, that is something that none of us would disagree with, that we are not from Ahlul Fatwa, and that is for the major scholars deliver and to administer. That which is permissible, though, is to convey fatwa. And so, if an individual, for example, he teaches and then he's asked a question, and the question is something that he knows of, he knows the answer for, from the fatawa of Ahlul Ilm, and this is the issue, from the verdicts of the people of knowledge, he's familiar with those verdicts, he conveys them. And that then is in accordance with what our Sheikh has conveyed here. So he said, it is upon them to refer the fatwa to the scholars. And that is, of course, what is done. If it is an issue that requires a fatwa that has not been dealt with previously by the scholars, then we send, of course, and we contact our ulama and we seek a fatwa for the issue. If it is a specific issue, then that is sought for a specific person. If it is something that is general, then the fatwa concerning those issues. And this is what we have been doing, Ikhwan, for over a quarter century now. Now, alhamdulillah. The issue then of The affair of al-fatwa, one of the affairs that the people of desires use in relation to this particular issue is that they say, subhanallah, see, they have opposed the bayan. We know of them giving fatawa, we know of them giving khula even. And they always cite one issue of khula, which was written, or in which the Maktaba Salafiyya wrote a witness over and upon the khula' that was given by a brother. And that was all the Maktaba Salafiyya did. Of course, the intricacies of the issue was not known by those who read that letter. So they see the letter and it appears to be a fatwa. It appears to be a khula' that was given by al-Maktaba Salafiyya. Maktaba Salafiyya does not issue khula'. And there are many, many, many sisters who have situations and have had situations in the past, and we have turned them away. We're not able to give khula'. That is not for us. That which we may do is we may help them with the situation of khula', or we may find and see the statement of a scholar concerning their situation. That now we may do. In relation to this particular issue that they circulate, the sister herself said that it is a lie that these brothers gave me khula'. Rather, what is the reality is that the husband gave the khula' himself. And the only thing that the Maktaba did was write a letter witnessing and establishing that that was actually the case. That was all the Maktaba Salafiyya did in relation to that particular issue. But of course, the ignorant one, or the one who has ill desire or ill intent, he takes that letter, he sees that it has Maktaba Salafiyya stamp upon it, and he says, look, here is an example of them giving khula', without any knowledge of any background, without any knowledge of anything related to the mas'ala itself. And this, as we mentioned, either based on ignorance or that the individuals intend to intentionally confuse and intentionally lie. The following two issues are another set of issues that these people use, and that is that which is connected to tarjama, to translation. In relation to tarjama point 4, the Sheikh, he mentions concerning translation of lessons, books or lectures, it is upon them to maintain precision, honesty and responsibility in this regard. No issues, of course, there. That is what any of the brothers connected to Al-Maktaba Salafiyya, that is what we all strive to do if we translate. The fifth point, though, is that they say that this fifth point proves that the brothers are not to teach, but that the brothers are translators. And that is that قِرَاءَتُهُمْ لِلْكُتُبْ لِكُتُبِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ الَّتِي شَرَحُوا بِهَا بَعْضُ الْمُتُونَ الْعِلْمِيَّةِ لا يعني ذلك أنهم مدرسون يقيمون بمهمة التدريس. For the one who does not fulfill the conditions up above, that is, they are not from those who are either graduates or have recommendations to teach from our mashaykh, then, because of course, ikhwan, point number 2 is in relation to teaching. This point, that is point number 5, is in relation to those who don't have the ability to teach. That is to say, the one who does not have the ability to teach, then if he has the command of both languages, that is the English language and the Arabic language, but he does not have the approval to teach, then it is for him and it is permissible for him to convey the statements of the people of knowledge with the books that they have explained. They may translate those books or explain what is present within them from the explanation of the Sheikh. And that does not necessitate that there are teachers necessarily. And that, of course, is in relation to those who do not have the ability to teach and do not fulfill the condition that is present in point number 2. In a sitting that we had with Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, our brother asked Abu Khadija, because it is an issue that was raised and people use it regularly, that these brothers are nothing but translators. So the issue was put to the Sheikh, and our brother Abu Khadija put the question to the Sheikh, wherein he said that those who oppose the Maktaba Salafiyya, they claim that the intent is, or the intent behind the bayan, is that the brothers are not to explain, teach or clarify the da'wah, or the words in the books that they are translating and teaching from. The Sheikh, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he said, this is not true. He said, this is not true, and it is not what is intended. Again, this is not true, words of the Sheikh. This is not true, and it is not what is intended. You should explain and clarify the da'wah And you should clarify and explain the terms in the books that you teach from, so that the people understand the intent of the author. That was the statement of the Sheikh, clearly indicating then that these people who are using the bayan do not understand the bayan, but they only see it as something by way of which they can beat the backs of Al-Maktaba Salafiyya and again erect a smoke screen for those who don't truly understand exactly what is taking place or the background behind the bayan. Point number six, concerning what our brother Abu Hakim wrote, and this is in particular and specific to me, concerning what our brother Abu Hakim, or Bilal Abu Hakim, wrote on the topic of Jarh wa Ta'dil and was circulated on the Salafi Talk website. It was made clear to him, and we will read the statement of the Sheikh. He said, وَقَدْ نُشِرَ عَبْرْ مَوْقِعْ سَلَفِي تَوْكْ وَقَدْ بُيِّنَ لَهُ أَنَّ ذَلِكْ خَطَأٌ وَاضِحٌ وَمُخَالِفٌ لِمَا عَلَيْهِ عُلَمَاءِ الْحَدِيثِ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ أَهْلُ الْجَرْهِ وَالتَّعْدِيلِ حَقًّا. It was explained to him, and this, Ikhwan, we'll mention it and then we'll explain what occurred in relation to this affair. It was explained to him that that which he wrote was in opposition to what the scholars of hadith were upon, and that who are the true people of Jarh wa Ta'dil, and يعني لما يقوله الأدعياء والغرباء عن هذا العلم الشريف, and they are the true people of Jarh wa Ta'dil, not as the claimants and the foreigners to this noble science say. He mentioned ولما تبين ذلك أقر بخطئه في ذلك جزاه الله خيرا وهذا هو الواجب علينا جميعا عند ظهور الخطأ لنا ثم بعد ذلك أفهم أن عليه البيان لخطئه ذلك ونشر رجوعه عنه. And this again, Ikhwan, is another point that has been badly translated. That is, that our Sheikh, he said here, it is, or contrary to what the claimants and the foreigners of this noble science say. When this became clear to him, and listen to the tense, this is past tense, when this became clear to him, he admitted his error in this regard. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him well. And this is the duty of all of us when mistakes become clear to us. Therefore, he was made to understand that it is upon him to clarify his mistake, and his retraction was circulated. And it is translated by some of them, they translate and to circulate his retraction. Actually, the affair is in the past, it was in the past, at the time of the writing of the bayan. That is, it was upon him, or it was explained to him, that he should clarify his mistake, and his retraction was spread and was circulated. And just to make this affair crystal clear, Ikhwan, this was something that had occurred perhaps somewhere in the region of close to a year before this bayan was written, which establishes the fact that it wasn't that the Sheikh had gathered us, that we were admonished, and then this article that I had written concerning Jarh wa Ta'dil was pulled out, and then I was forced to take it back. I had already taken it back some year before the bayan itself. And that then is an indication of the fact that the Sheikh, by writing these points, was establishing to those who had been complaining or been trying to use these points against us that this was something that has already been done. The date of my retraction, even though, Ikhwan, in relation to the bayan itself, the bayan was in May of 2005. My retraction was written in July, or in June of 2004. A bit of background around the article. I wrote an article around the issue of Jarh wa Ta'dil. In fact, it wasn't purely around the issue of Jarh wa Ta'dil. What had occurred was that Ali Hassan al-Halabi had come to Brixton Masjid, and he had delivered a number of durus and a number of lectures. And in some of those lectures, he claimed that it is not for a person to speak about Ahlul Bid'ah until he has encompassed the conditions of Jarh wa Ta'dil. and the conditions of Jarh wa Ta'dil are mentioned, of course, by the scholars of hadith in the books of Jarh wa Ta'dil and in the books of Mustalah al-Hadith. And so, what was clearly being promoted was that unless you have those conditions and that you're from the ulama of Jarh wa Ta'dil, it is not for you to speak. And so I wrote an article highlighting that the affair of Ahlul Bid'ah, that Ahlul Bid'ah are of two types. Ahlul Bid'ah, who are asliyin, yani they were born upon Bid'ah, who were never ever upon the Sunnah. And then we have the person who was upon the Sunnah and erred and fell into Bid'ah. In relation to Tabdi'ah and in relation to declaring an individual a Mubtadi'ah, the one who was born a Mubtadi'ah, one does not have to hesitate to refer to him as a Mubtadi'ah, as Sheikh Rashid Rabi and others have mentioned in their works and writings. He's a Mubtadi'ah. He was born a Mubtadi'ah. And so we do not hesitate to make Tabdi'ah of such an individual. The issue that we have to be cautious of, though, is the one that was upon Salafiyah, and he was established upon Salafiyah, and then he came off Salafiyah. And this is, Ikhwani, of major importance, because we hear many people saying, when individuals are spoken against, certain individuals are spoken against, that yahi, you can't say he's not Salafi, like Mufti Menk. The issue here is, Ikhwan, when did Mufti Menk ever refer to himself as Salafi? And so the Mubtadi', that is, a born Mubtadi', one doesn't have to hesitate to refer to that individual for what as what he is. He is. He's a Mubtadi', and he was never upon the Sunnah. But the one, though, who is upon the Sunnah and then falls off the Sunnah, this individual, we seek the guidance of Ahlul Ilm in relation to how we should deal with him and in relation to the statements that he makes. Unless, of course, he blatantly rejects Salafiyah like Yasir Qadhi and detaches himself from it. So, the article that I had written, because what was being understood from what Ali Hassan was saying was that no one should speak about the people of innovation. And so I wrote an article mentioning discussing something that I had taken from Falih Al-Harbi during the years that we'd studied with him. And that is that he made a difference between Jarh wa Ta'dil and between Ar-Rad ala al-Mukhalif. That Jarh wa Ta'dil was one thing, speaking about the narrators and so on was one thing, and refuting the innovator was another. In relation to this affair, in the article that I had written, because this was one of the issues that he was refuted for. Naturally, when I studied with Sheikh Falih, I was studying with Sheikh Falih before the refutation. And as we've mentioned previously, Falih, when he was refuted, we were the first to leave him and we were the first to spread the refutations against him. But when we studied with Falih, at a time when those who speak against or spoke against our studying with Falih should have been studying with Falih. Because Falih, during those years, was considered from the Mashaykh of Medina until he was refuted, until he fell into these errors and this tashaddud. But prior to that, he was considered from the scholars of Medina. And listen, in order to establish this, there was a bayan, and this is ironic, one that this should have occurred, but there was a bayan that was written at the time of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz. Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz wrote a bayan to the mashaykh and the scholars that were in the mamlaka generally, in the kingdom generally, whether in Medina and in Riyadh. And this was during a time when there were some refutations that had taken place, like the issue of Safar and Salman and what have you. And so the Sheikh wrote a bayan out of fear that the wahda and the unity that was present would be lost because of some of what had taken place. He wrote a bayan. The bayan was general for everyone. Just like this bayan, individuals, people of desires, began to say that the Sheikh wrote the bayan against the scholars of Medina. And so someone put the question, is this true, Ya Sheikh? And so he responded with the following.
Ya إلى بعض علماء ومشايخ المدينة النبوية، ويخصصون بذلك الشيخ محمد أمان الجامي والشيخ ربيع بن هادي والشيخ صالح السحيمي والشيخ صالح العبود والشيخ صالح الحربي والشيخ محمد بن هادي.
And so he said that in relation to, this is a questioner, in relation to the bayan that you had written or that you gave fairly recently, some of the people are now explaining this bayan and are now saying that the bayan you intended by way of it, certain mashaykh specifically, and they mention in specific the scholars of Medina, and then he mentions the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, the likes of Sheikh Saleh al-Ubud, the likes of Sheikh Saleh al-Sahimi, the likes of Sheikh Faleh al-Harbi, the likes of Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi, the likes of Muhammad bin Hadi. So these are the names that were mentioned as the Mashaykh of Medina. And others from the students of knowledge who have nashat, who have activity, dawah-related activity in Jeddah. And again, ikhwan, just like this bayan, as they say, the brothers in the Maktaba and those who are affiliated with them, this bayan applies to them. Similarly, this is what was being said about this bayan, that those who, from the Mashaykh of Medina and those who are their affiliates in Jeddah. So what is your opinion about this explanation? And truly, are these mashayikh intended by this bayan? Jazakumullahu khaira. So we've explained previously on more than one occasion that this bayan, no one specific was intended by way of it. Rather, we intended nasiha lil jami'. We intended nothing but nasiha for everyone, whether in this land or outside of this land. And those who you have mentioned, they are our specific brothers from the ulama of the sunnah. And those who are known for istiqama and for having sound aqidah, and for calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, they were not the ones who were intended or other than them. And then he, the questioner, asks a follow-up question about studying with these mashaykh. Remember, Falih was mentioned among them. And this was the follow-up question. So, what do you say then about these mashaykh who were previously mentioned? And do you advise the students of knowledge to study with them, particularly since they study and they teach the books of Aqidah? They teach the books of Aqidah and other books from the books of the Sharia. Specifically since some of the du'at, some of the callers and the people who give sermons, they describe them as majahil, as people who are unknowns. Sheikh said, I reiterate that these are my specific brothers from the ulama of the sunnah, and I advise that you take from them and that you study with them and that you benefit from them. So again, in that list was Falih al-Harbi. So when we arrived in Medina, naturally, Falih al-Harbi was from among the mashaykh that it was known to be from the scholars of the sunnah in Medina. Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, Falih al-Harbi, and others. And so when we were studying with the other mashaykh, Falih al-Harbi was from the mashaykh that we likewise studied with, from them. There were many mashaykh that we were studying with. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Ali Nasir al-Faqih, a number of mashaykh that we were studying with. Falih was from them. So when we were sitting with Falih as young students of knowledge, and we hear him making this tafriq, making this difference between Jarh wa Ta'deel and between Radal al-Mukhalif, then of course we take that as we pen that down in our notes. And we hold that to be correct understanding on the basis of the fact that this has come from one of the scholars of Medina. Until Sheikhana Sheikh Rabi made Rad of Falih and clarified this error, When that was the case, then of course, and of course you need to understand that these incidents were occurring during that time. And so a year before this bayan, after it was made clear and the issues that were related to Faleh were being highlighted and the articles and the writings of Sheikh Rabi had come out, we took the translation, or we translated the statements of our Mashaykh, we spread them. But one of the issues, which to be honest with you, the affair was one that had been somewhat forgotten about. It was someone that raised it, that did this article that you wrote a while ago, it has in it the same issue. And so when we visited Medina, someone had brought that likewise to Sheikh Rabia, someone brought it to Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, and as our fathers, they sat and said that it has reached us that you've written an article around such and such issue. Is it true? And they're using this against you. Wallahi, this is the statement of Sheikh Rabia to me. Sheikh Rabia said to me, they're using this against you, be careful. He said, what we will do, translate the article into Arabic, come back to me, we sit down with it, I will write, we'll correct it, I will write an introduction for you for the corrected article, and we'll spread that out, and that will be a thorn in their sides. Wallahi, wa Rabbi al-Ka'ba, that was the statement of Sheikhana Sheikh Rabia to me. And so I said, Alhamdulillah. Translated the article, but the article was, and had in it, from its very beginning, a mention of Faleh al-Harbi, that from the principles Faleh al-Harbi had mentioned, and Faleh al-Harbi, and so on. And so the Sheikh said, it is better, it would be better to just take the article back, retract the article, and khalas, and end the issue. So that is what I did, and there was no issue with that whatsoever. Yani wallahi, if it becomes clear, ikhwan, that we've written or said something that opposes the haq, wallahi, we'll take it back immediately. And that is what was done. And that was, or that retraction was spread, even though, ikhwan, we still have some of the people of Batil saying, and where is the retraction? It was on Salafi Talk and on some of our other websites. And this article, ikhwan, as I mentioned, it was written on the 27th, or it was put out on the 27th of the 6th, 2004. And in it, and I'll make mention and read some of it, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, amma ba'd, after a very recent visit to the kingdom, and visiting our mashaykh, Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi and others, it had become evidently clear that their criticisms of Sheikh Faleh al-Harbi that we began to hear of before embarking upon our journey are correct and haq, and that the Sheikh is clearly erroneous in regards to that which he has fallen into, from making a difference between the ulama of hadith and jarh wa ta'dil, and other than them from the people of knowledge in the affair of making jarh of Ahlul Bid'ah. And likewise, other principles that Ahlul Ilm have clarified are incorrect and false. On that basis, I say that the article that I wrote some 18 months ago, which was written close to 2 years before the retraction, some 18 months ago, in defense of the scholars who spoke against Abu al-Hassan and those who support him and their shubuhat, entitled Al-Fawariq, was based upon the incorrect speech of Sheikh Faleh and some of those false principles, the likes of which I personally heard from him on more than one occasion. After reading the article this morning at approximately 9:15 Saudi time, on this day, Saturday, the 26th of June, 2004, to our Sheikh Rabi ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhullah, in his home, the affair is as the Sheikh mentioned, fihi haq wa batil, in it is truth and falsehood. Thus I say, even though it was in essence a product of our having good suspicions concerning the knowledge and perception of Sheikh Faleh, I, in bold letters, I still categorically free myself from it and repent to Allah for having written it and it being spread. For indeed, as some of the Salaf used to say, to return to the haq is fadila, nobility. Thus, reliance in this issue should be upon that which was written by Sheikh Rabi' and that which he continues to write and that which has been written by the Imams of Jarh wa Ta'dil of the past and in the affair of making Jarh of Ahlul Bid'ah. And indeed, this is just another example of the true nature of the statements of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This knowledge is carried in every generation by the trustworthy ones. They repel from it the distortions of those who go beyond bounds, the fabrications of those who falsify, and the incorrect interpretations of the ignorant. Just as it is an example of the fact that our ulama aren't affected by anything in clarifying the haq to the ummah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. That was a year before this bayan. So when our Sheikh mentioned point number 6 concerning what our brother Bilal Abu Hakim wrote, he said here that it, when he mentioned that was which was spread, it was made clear to him. That was a year before. It was made clear to him. It is as though the Sheikh is saying this has already been made clear to him. And you people who are using this, it was made clear to him that this was a clear error and in opposition to what the ulama of hadith were upon, and contrary to what the claimants and the strangers to this noble knowledge say, referring here to Falih al-Harbi, because the article was written and revolved around his speech. And he accepted his error, jazahullahu khayra, and that is what is wajib upon all of us when errors become clear. And after that, it was made clear to him that it is upon him to clarify the error, and his retraction was spread. That is point number 6. And so that point is in no way, shape or form an indication of the fact that the Sheikh refuted us. It was the Sheikh establishing that this was already done. This has already been done for those of you who attempt to try and use it. Mumtaz. Point number 7. فيما يتعلق بالرفق بالناس في الدعوة والتعليم عليهم أن يلتزموا بذلك لأنه ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانا ولا نزع منه إلا شانا كما قال ذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما صح عنه. He mentions that in relation to rifq, in relation to gentleness, then it is upon them to cling to gentleness. And of course, ikhwan, that is the origin and the asl, that we cling to a rifq and being gentle with the people when giving da'wah. And anyone who listens to our durus will know that it is upon the brothers to adhere to this way, because gentleness is not placed in anything except that it beautifies it, and gentleness is not removed from anything except that it spoils it, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in an authentic hadith. And that is the issue that was mentioned in the 7th point. Then there is no issue there, and we agree 100%, because of course this was another issue that was being used against the brothers, that the brothers are harsh and the brothers are shadeed. Why? Because they do not make a difference between being firm upon the da'wah, a shidda, and being harsh with the people of innovation, which is the ijma' of the salaf of this ummah. And there is unity upon the salaf of this ummah that is what is prescribed. They do not make a difference between that and being gentle in relation to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is an issue that we want to pick up on in a future part in this series, inshallah. But perhaps up until this point, we'll round up on that note. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhir da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.